As I read the Bible, as, you know, reading through different scriptures, it often amazes me how scripture will take incredibly profound ideas and just share this beautiful, profound truth in a very plain, matter-of-fact way. And as an example of that is today's reading. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, the first seven verses. So if you'd like to turn to that in your Bible. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 1014. This is the actual, you know, Luke telling the story of Jesus' birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now here is the center of the Christmas story. As I read different things, different people have different ideas around the meaning of Christmas. I read an article in the news the other day that, you know, part, you know, the real meaning of Christmas is having a real Christmas tree instead of a fake Christmas tree, for instance. Okay. Our Christmas tree, by the way, is real. It's plastic, but it's real. It is not imaginary. It's not a hologram. We always did trees that we cut down from live. We always used to kill trees for our Christmas, but Billy Joe is allergic to the trees now. There's stuff on them, so we've had to go to a plastic tree, but it's real, okay? But here in the Gospel of Luke is the center of Christmas, okay? The Lord God became human and lived among us. Jesus, he gave up heaven. He deserves every honor that could possibly be bestowed upon a person, right? He deserves every honor that we could possibly give him. But he's born in very ordinary and certainly very humble circumstances. There's no room in the inn. He's born in a stable, possibly a wooden structure like we show, but more likely a cave. He's someplace where there's animals kept. And, I mean, he's cared for. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. His mother cares for him, but, you know, he's laid in a manger, a feeding trough. The center of Christmas is that the infinite becomes finite. The eternal becomes mortal. The Almighty becomes a baby. The timeless, uncontained Creator trapped himself in time and in space. God became one of us. He made his home among us. The Word became flesh. Jesus took on flesh like us, our flesh, and became one of us. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, Jesus came announcing life and announcing peace. Did you know the name Bethlehem means house of bread? Right? Bethlehem, the town name means house of bread. Jesus was born in the house of bread. And later he will describe himself as the bread of life. Jesus is life. To live in Christ is to have full, eternal life. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's always with us. When he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is also God, one just like him, he said, who continues to live in us, continues to live with us. We have God with us. You know, in quiet times, God is with you. In the hustle and the bustle, in the chaos and in the struggle, God is with you. When you feel alone, God is with you. God loves you and dwells with you. He moves in and makes himself at home. Sits down and becomes part of the family. So what was your most stressful time this past year? What was a time that was the most stressful? God was with you in that. What was your most difficult time? Maybe the most difficult wasn't the most stressful. What was the hardest time? God was with you in that. When were you hurt the deepest? The hurt that will take a long time to heal. God was with you in that. When were you the loneliest or the most afraid? God was there and he was with you. When you felt the most alone, when it felt like nobody cared and nobody understood, God was there and he understands and he cares. And what was the most joyful time? God was with you then too. The happiest time. When was the greatest party you were in? People having the greatest time. God was there. I love to share at weddings. You know, it just seems that this, the whole thing of Jesus turning water into wine at a wedding, just a piece of that miracle is Jesus loves a good party. I think Jesus loves to see his people smiling and having a good time, laughing. He loves to be with us in times like that. Christmas, light and life have entered the world. Jesus comes and lives among the humble and the ordinary. His humble, ordinary beginning shows us that. Yes, wise men came. Magi, who had to be pretty wealthy. They had means. They were able to travel far, and they were able to bring extravagant gifts. But also shepherds came. Now the Magi followed a star. The shepherds were invited by angels. Jesus came and he lives among the humble and the ordinary. And you know those angels, when they talk to the shepherds, they tell the shepherds that Jesus brings peace. Life and light has entered the world and he brings peace to all who are his. So where do you need peace? Just as you are here, as you're listening to this, where do you need peace? peace with God. Jesus died to buy us peace with God. Whether we know it or not, peace with God is the first need that we have, the deepest need. And to receive peace from God, peace with God, we turn to Christ and we ask Him for help and we trust, we follow Him, and Christ gives us peace with God. Do we need peace as a release from sin? Christ helps us with that. By His strength, we repent and we turn from it. And Christ helps us live. He sets us free. Do we need peace with someone or some people? You know, this Christmas season can be a time of great turmoil. Sometimes we see people that we only see at Christmas, or we talk to people we only talk to at Christmas, and some of those dynamics can be incredibly stressful. Do we need peace with ourselves? One of the hard parts of not being at peace with yourself is you can never run away from yourself. No matter where you run to, you're there. It's just like trying to run from God. You can't run from Him either. No matter where you go, He is there. In all of those examples, Christ is the peace. We turn to Him. He's the answer. He's the peace giver. We follow Him. We ask Him for help. And He brings peace that truly goes beyond understanding. Things start to happen and God starts to work in us and He works in other people and we have peace that we can't explain. The way to let Christ work is to be humble. Empty yourself. Let Him be in charge. I think it's part of worship. Something we all have to recognize, we have to come to a realization, is that we're not as smart as we think we are. I'm not as smart as I think I am. Something that I am learning in a better way. Different things in my life have taught me this, and I'm learning in a deeper way with Billy Joe's health issues is, well, let me start by saying I am an internalizer. I don't know if you've ever heard terms like that. There are internalizers and externalizers. Internalizers see problems as being inside them. Okay. It works really well as an engineer or a manager. When there is a problem, I think it's my problem, and I try to fix it. By the way, externalizers tend to think the problems are outside themselves. If there's a problem, it's somebody else's fault. That's that kind of a thing. And neither one of them is always true. I just tend to see problems as being mine. Okay, I'm also a fixer. I like to fix things. I tend to fix things. I can be rather tenacious about that. Well, one of the things I've been learning with Billy Joe is I can't fix it. Quite honestly, one of the things I've shared with Billy Joe is no good deed goes unpunished. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. It seems like the more I do to try to make things better, the more I have to do to try to make things better. Everything leads to another two or three steps, and I can't make it better. The answer is not in me. I'm not as smart as I think I am. The answer lies in God. It's His provision. It's Him's timing. He's in charge. We need to humbly come to Him and empty ourselves and let Him be in charge. That's a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson we all need. Jesus is light living with us. The light of the world in human flesh. And you know, that light still shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. It's a lesson we easily forget. It often seems like if we're going to light a candle in a big dark room, the dark is just going to overpower and the candle is just going to go out. It just feels that way, doesn't it? Darkness seems to win too much. Often in our lives, it's the bad, the dark, that seems more powerful. It seems more powerful. Often in our lives, it seems like hope is lost. But the darkness cannot overcome the light of God. The darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. In our darkness, the darkness in our lives, the chaos in our lives, the struggle in our lives, the evil that comes at us, the light still shines in our darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, Jesus isn't going to win. Okay? Now, don't just quote that part. Okay? Jesus isn't going to win. He already has won. Jesus has won. He is the victor, not will be the victor. Okay? And He will always be the victor because He is. Our English tenses fall apart here at this point. He is and always will be the victor. Not just in the future, but now. And He always has been. The light shines in our darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it because Jesus has already won. There isn't any power that can overcome Christ in our lives. We're going to close the service with a couple more Christmas songs. It is wonderful to be able to celebrate Christmas together. It is wonderful to be able to celebrate that the light of the world is with us.